Got your Bible, I want you to turn with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. I want to share with you this morning from the Word of God upon the subject of the idea when Jesus calls your name. When Jesus calls your name. I heard a lot of people that have speculated since the accident that claimed the young man's life on Friday, I believe it was, that, you know, we all have a time and a place when God's going to call us home, whether it be through the rapture or whether it be through death, whether it be through natural causes, whether it be through an accident or whatever in our hearts and our lives. But being prepared for that time is what is so important in the heart and life of every one of us concerning the things of God. When I thought of what the Lord would have me to share this morning, I had very much in mind the empty tomb. You know, if that tomb was still filled, if that rock had never been rolled away, and Jesus had never came forth out of that grave, we wouldn't have a hope today, would we? We wouldn't have an assurance. And as we shared a couple of weeks ago what he did then for us, he said in his scripture that he did it for you and he did it for me. That we can have the assurance of knowing that we are his children. I thought about the empty tomb. The scene I wanted you to share with me this morning as I relate this to you is simply this. They've waited 3 days since they've seen Jesus die on that cross. And after 3 days, early in the morning, they arise, they gather their credentials that they have put together, their myrrh and their frankincense and stuff, the things they use for the embalming and preparing of a burial of a body. And they are on their way to the tomb. Mary Magdalene is leading the way. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary, the mother of James, is also. I don't know why they got all those Marys in there, but they got a lot of Marys in there. But Mary Magdalene's the one in the lead that I wanted to share a few thoughts about before moving on to the second person that heard Jesus call their name. And then the third person that heard Jesus called their name as we share in these thoughts concerning the things that are happening here and the life of these individuals. And as I thought of Mary and them as they arose early and they carried these supplies that they had put together to anoint and give a proper burial to the body of Jesus, even though he'd been in that grave 3 days now, they were determined to give him a proper burial. Mary Magdalene was leading the charge. And I believe the reason that she is leading the charge here, as the scripture tells us about it, is because of what Jesus had done for her in ridding her body of some evil spirits, seven evil spirits, that it came upon her, plagued her, troubled her. She didn't have a good day in her life because of these evil spirits that were doing everything in their power they could to disrupt her life and make it as miserable as possible. That's what Satan wants to do for you today. He wants to make your life miserable. He wants to make your life such that you won't trust the Lord, but you will follow after some of his wicked ways in his heart and his life. Mary Magdalene, as she talks with these other Marys, the conversation in some of this, you may have to go into Matthew, Mark, and Luke and tie it in with John as they relate their accounts of what took place and the resurrection here. But as they come, they're concerned and they're asking themselves the question, now here we are. We're about to approach the tomb and we have no way to roll back the stone. And the scripture says that they came together and Verse 11 said, Mary stood without at the sepulcher, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and she looked into the sepulcher. Standing there weeping because the tomb is now empty. What did she expect? What did Jesus try to tell them over and over in their lives? To prepare for what? After 3 days, I will what? Rise. That's right. Then he spends 40 days in the midst of them, sharing with them and talking with them and helping them to understand what he's going through in his heart and his life. And then he ascends back to the Father, and he's sitting on the right hand this morning, waiting for the Father to say, Son, go bring my children home. Why was she weeping? Why was things in the shape that they were in at this time in her heart and her life? All those other disciples, except for one, and that was John, abandoned the Lord. They chose to run away from him, not allow him to be able to minister to them in their hearts and their lives. But these Marys stuck with him, along with John. And the scripture says when she stooped down and she looked into the sepulcher, in verse 12, it said, and seeth two angels in white sitting at the head of the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. She's still thinking that he's dead. He's still thinking in his heart and his life that he is dead. What do we think in our hearts and our lives today? And what was happening there? Now get this image. Whichever one of the four gospels you want to follow, fine with me, but they all come to the same conclusion. Jesus' linens that he was wrapped in, like a mummy, all the way around, the napkin over his face, the head guard, everything was as if his body was still inside. But when he rose from the dead, he came out of that. All that was there was that empty tomb with those linen clothes that he had been prepared in. And these ladies, they're astounded. What would you have thought? What would your reaction have been to that? She didn't know. She didn't understand that right outside that tomb stood Jesus. Watching her reactions, seeing what she was doing in her heart and her life. Look at verse 14. When she had thus said, she turned herself around and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Why did she not recognize him as Jesus? Because he's got a resurrected body now, a glorified body, one that he'd offered in sacrifice to the Lord. What are we going to receive one of these days if we trusted him as Lord and Savior of our hearts and our life? We're going to receive a glorified body. We're going to receive one that without spot or blemish. And no, probably some would not recognize us. There are going to be those there that you and I would have thought would have never been in this place called heaven. Why? Because of what we have believed. Here's what Jesus said to her. Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She's supposing him to be the gardener. A lot of difference in the gardener and the Savior, isn't it? A lot of difference in that. And she said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Remember, Jesus is buried in a barred tomb in a hurried up rush funeral that had taken 3 days prior to that, when Nicodemus went before the Pilate and them and requested the body of Jesus and got it. And he had to hurry to get it before sundown. And she just supposed that whoever the real owner of that tomb was probably demanded that they remove the body of Jesus so that he could have his tomb back. And she said, "Lord, sir, if you've moved him somewhere, tell me where you moved him and I'll take him away." Jesus said unto her, "Mary." All he said was, "Mary." She turned herself, the scripture said, and she said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Master. She recognized. When Jesus called her name, she knew who he was. Let me tell you something. If I understand anything about Scripture, there's coming a day when Jesus is going to call your name. He's going to call my name. Every one of us. By name. To come home. To be in his presence. What's going to take place then? There's going to be a separation of the sheep and the goats, the scripture says. Uses an analogy that they were familiar with in their everyday lives. To talk to them. The thing that matters is where we fall in that line of calling. You know? What's he going to do for us? Jesus told her, said, "Mary, don't touch me. I'm not yet ascended to my Father." His fulfilling of the scripture had not yet complete. He said, "I'm going to ascend to my Father and your Father. And to my God and your God." Do you recognize that there? "Mary, I'm going to my Father. The same Father I have, you have." Isn't that wonderful to know? That we can have him as Lord and Savior of our hearts and our lives. And what was taking place. Now notice what Mary did here. Scripture says in verse 18 that Mary came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Mary came and spoke to the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord and he has spoken these things unto me." What do you think they probably thought of Mary when she claimed this? Peter, he's kind of the rough rod of the 12 disciples here. There's 11 left here. What do you think about what Mary's saying here? What do you think Peter's probably saying? She just lost her mind. Her grief is so much. Her hurt's so bad. Her tears flow so easy that she's forgotten what's taking place here and the things that were happening in their hearts and their lives. But if you skip on down to verse 19, the first day of the week at evening, when the doors were shut, they were locked into that upper room up there where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus. He didn't knock on the door. He didn't wait for someone to open the door and let. He just appeared in their midst. Just appeared in their midst. Why? Because he's no longer human. He's now spiritual because he's done what? Accomplished the will of his Father. And that was to go to that cross and die for our sins on that cross and our hearts and our lives and the things that's happening. Mary, what a difference when Jesus called her name. You remember Thomas? Quickly now, I want you to help me with Thomas. Thomas wasn't with the other 10 whenever Jesus made this appearance to him. But when he came where the others were after Jesus had left, and they told him what had transpired in their very presence of who they were, he said, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of his nails, and put my finger in the print of his nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Thomas was adamant. "Y'all not fooling me. You're not playing games with me." But guess what happened? 8 days later, out of that 40 days that he's with them here on earth, he appears to the disciples again. And he walks right up to Thomas. And here's what he tells Thomas. "Thomas, peace be unto you. Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." Believing. That one word, you can't escape salvation without believing that Jesus is who he says he is. And he did for us what he said he was going to do by dying on that cross. Thomas answered and said, "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. You would think after the disciples, it was revealed to them through Mary that Jesus was alive. He had made a personal appearance to four of them in the upper room. He came back 8 days later and visited with Thomas just to prove to him he was who he said he was. What's it going to take to get through to the disciples? What's it going to take for them to understand in their hearts and their lives? What was their conclusion of the matter? What did they think needed to take place? Remember what Peter said? Peter said, "I'm going a fishing." Why was Peter going to go fishing? Before Jesus called him 3.5 years earlier, he was a fisherman. That was his occupation. So that tells me that when Peter said, "I'm going a fishing," he gave up all hope. He thought it was over, it's done. You know, in their heart and their life. You know, because the Lord has tarried so long and coming back to get his bride, the church. A lot of people say, "Oh, I've heard that all of my life." You know, people's talked that and said that and done that. You know, I'm just of the opinion that when you're dead, you're dead. Well, you're dead wrong, I can tell you that. You're going to be more alive than you ever been in your heart and your life, either with the Lord or in torment. I can't pretty that up. I can't change that. I can't make it anything other than what it was. They fished all night long. Him and some of the other disciples that went with him. They caught nothing. Next morning, as they headed back to shore, they saw a little bright light of a fire. Guess who made the fire? Guess what he was doing? Jesus was preparing breakfast for those that had toiled all night long. And the result was what? Zero. Zero. They hadn't caught a thing. He cried out to him, "Have you caught any fish?" "No, sir." "Cast your net on the other side." And they caught more than they knew what to do with. You know, but old John said, "Yes. That's Jesus. That's Jesus over there at that fire." Old Peter stood up, put his cloak around him, bailed out of that boat, and he went to Jesus. Why do you think he went to Jesus? Because he'd done exactly what Jesus told him he was going to do. Before the cock crowed, he'd have gone to deny him 3 times. But thank God Peter didn't do what the other one did. And going out and hanging himself. But Peter went to Jesus. I don't care what you're going through in your heart and your life. I don't know what you're having to deal with. I don't know what circumstance. I don't know anything about a lot of you in a lot of different ways, but I know this. Jesus loves you. He loves you so much that he was willing to go to that cross and die for you. Buried in that barred tomb, and 3 days later, if he were still in that tomb, I wouldn't be standing in this pulpit this morning. But he went and he said, whosoever will believe in me shall not perish, but have what? How long is everlasting? Forever and ever in our hearts and our lives. We're going to be transformed. We're going to have a new body. We're going to have a body that's going to be like him in our hearts and our lives. Now listen to me closely as I close up. I want you to hear what I'm fixing to tell you. It's one thing to say you love Jesus, but the real test of whether you love Jesus or not is your willingness to serve him, to do what he would have you to do. Oh, he's worrying with these disciples. He's tried for 3.5 years, you know, and right down when he needs them the most, they still ain't got it together and still ain't figured it all out, you know. For many of us, we're coming down to the end of the road. I wonder in your heart and your life, you got it figured out? Do you know? When Jesus calls your name, will you recognize him? Will you hear him? You know, he's going to have a new body. He's going to have a glorified body. We're going to be like him, the scripture says. And I tell folks all the time, I hope that picture's correct back there. Because he's tall, dark, and handsome, and I'm tired of being short, fat, and bald, you know. I'm going to be like him. I'm going to be like him. Simon said, I go a-fishing. They fish all night. They catch nothing. Jesus says, come unto me. When he fed them, he looks at Peter, and out of a heart of agape love, he says to him, Peter, do you love me more than these? You hear what he said? Peter, do you love me more than these? All those other disciples that when Peter announced the fact that he is going fishing, they said what? I'm going with you. There's a boatload of them. But they still didn't catch any fish, did they? First time, Peter, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. But Peter, do you love me? Second time, he got real personal with him. The question he was asking him there, that same agape love, was simply this. Peter, do you love me more than these? And then finally, the third time, he said to him, Peter, do you love me? In Philippi, I can't say that word correct, but you know what I mean. But you know what it means? It means, Peter, are you even my friend? Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. When Jesus calls your name, will he find you feeding his sheep? Or will you be one of these other loves here? Where you'll love yourself and your family and your others more than you love the Lord? Will you find yourself in a position where you alone and you alone are going to stand before God? You're going to give an account of yourself. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. But Peter, do you love me? I'm telling you, old Peter was in a bad situation. He'd done a wrong that was hard to right. But in his doing so, sharing with what he's saying to them in their hearts and their lives, is what the scripture tells us that he recorded earlier in the book of John. You got to love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. In other words, everything that is within us, we got to serve that Lord. Let Him be the Lord of our lives. Do His will for us. And Jesus calls your name. Morning, noon, night, whenever. You're going to answer that call. And you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to give an account of yourself to God and the things that you've done in your body, whether it be good or bad. You know? But you know you can unload that care right here this morning by asking God to forgive you of the sin and wrong in your heart and your life. And being like old Peter, saying, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." If you love Him, you'll feed His sheep. Let's pray. Father God, as we come to the time of the conclusion of the service, Mary, when she heard and realized that it was you, Lord, cried out, "Master." Rabboni, Master. She come to realize that He was Jesus. Lord, when Jesus walks up to Him and He sticks His hand into His side and His finger into His feet and His hands, He come to the realization and He cried out, "My Lord and my God." When old Peter had fished all night, came towing in the next morning with an empty boat, but a loving Savior on the sandbar, fixing breakfast for him, came for one purpose and one purpose only, and that was to forgive Peter for denying him three times. See, He warned him before. He told him, said, "Satan wants to sift you. He wants to put you to the test." You and I are put to the test this morning. How are we going to come out? Will we fail or will we succeed? Only if we trust Him as our Lord and Savior. Father, You know the need of every heart here this morning. I pray You'll speak to their hearts. Give them the strength, the courage to step out and trust You as Lord and Savior. God, maybe there's a need for their hearts, something, troubles or trials or afflictions that they're going through in their hearts and their life. Maybe they just feel like the devil is just to and fro, up and down their lives, stirring them, causing them problems, hurts and trials. But You tell us in Your word, if we'll resist the devil, he'll flee. So help us this morning to give place, not one thing to the devil, but everything to Jesus. And we'll give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. What we're going to sing, brethren?